today, a message coming in on the WhatsApp line at 0725671567. I think the Cape Minstrels Carnival is pathetic and a disgusting waste of taxpayers' money. I will never go and see them. If you've been there before, you might not want to go back again. But if you haven't been there at all, I think maybe one experience should do the trick. Morning, we used to go to town to see the Kaapse Klopse, but it's not so nice because people open their gazebos and there's no space for you to see anything. And I think that is also one of the complaints that came through from the call we took earlier on, is that there's no space to see anything. You know, everybody's all over the place. People sleep there for days in advance to get the best vantage spot. But then people also sleep for days in advance at a cricket, to book cricket tickets, and they sleep days in advance to get a ticket to go to see a concert or something like that. So, all those millions, oh my word, while people going hungry, no man, scale down that amount of money made available. In the past, the minstrels, I'm speaking under correction here, but I think in the past, many, many years ago, the minstrels were actually never sponsored or given money by the city or by any particular sponsor. People used to work very, very hard, save up their money, and then make their gear and come into town. I'm speaking under correction there because it could be a different story. Another message asks, is one allowed to refer to the Cape Minstrels as the Coons? Cape Minstrels is what it's like. It used to be Kaapse Klopse. It used to be Coon Carnival. I think it's just, linguistics at this particular moment, but we will refer to it as the Cape Minstrels. Kaapse Klopse says get rid of it and replace it with better control and management. In former years, it was absolutely awesome. Yes, we used to line the streets and come to the Boer Kaap. It used to be a big thing for us when we came in, actually, in terms of the Kaapse Klopse. But your thoughts are always welcome on 0214460567 and on 072 on the WhatsApp line, 0725671567. Martin, who was a former member of the Kaapse Klopse and the Beach Boys. Martin, morning.
Morning, James. Johnson.
Ja, was?
En nog een Johnson, Parameter Johnson. I sang Climb Every Mountain for the Beach Boys and I won first prize on Athlone Stadium. That very year, Jonathan Butler sang Please Stay and he won the Juvenile Sentimental first prize. And I also sang for the Woodstock Starlights and so forth. That I'm a respectable citizen also and I see nothing wrong with the Klopse. I don't know why people want to always relate the Klopse with gangsterism and dagga smoking and wine copper and all this. A lot of nonsense, man.
Yeah.
I'm 79 going on to 80. 79 years ago, my mother was pregnant with me now.
That's a long time, hey? Listen, Martin, yes. The thing is, actually, I think, in terms of the Kaapse Klopse, I don't think people are actually so much in terms of the fact that it's not everybody's vein copper. That's a very big generalization, yeah, and I said that it was an absolutely very big generalization to say that.
People are stupid. I don't like restaurants. I don't go to restaurants, but other people like restaurants. You know, because I know what goes on in restaurants. I hear it from friends. Mm. I don't eat food that other people eat. You know what I'm saying? Why must we take what other people don't like? You know what I'm saying?
The thing is, Martin, I think a lot of people feel. Sorry, Martin, just a minute or two. A lot of people feel that, it's entertainment, it is there, it's good value, it is an attraction in Cape Town, but people feel that maybe it should just be organized a lot better.
I was going to tell you next now. The only thing is the organization is very langdradig, like they say. Mm. You know what I'm saying? The troops are so far apart and so forth, and it's a bit lackadaisical. If they need to, you get the military man to teach him how to drill and get the thing organized properly, then it will be fine. But the only thing is just dragging out sometimes. That's why the lady from Fishhook said they waited so long, they only start at 11 o'clock. Now, this is what the organizers must look at. You know, they must have precision.
Yeah.
Do it properly. You know what I'm saying? And then we can enjoy it. And klar, end of story.
Martin in Mitchell's Plain, thank you very much. He was a former member of the Kaapse Klopse or the Cape Minstrels and the Beach Boys. He won first prize and he says that Jonathan Butler was also singing on stage. And then There's a difference between the Cape Minstrels and the Malay Choirs, which is another section, which is a section of it that I absolutely love, which is the Malay Choirs. There's a lot of harmonizing in there. They sing the old, what is known as the Hollandse liedjies, which they sing, Rosa and stuff like that. And it's totally amazing to see them in action. So, yeah, your thoughts on that? 021-446-0567 and on 0725671567. This is your platform and be part of the conversation. Nick Dlamini has had surgery on his arm, broken by Table Mountain National Park Rangers. The fellow cyclist, Donovan Lecoq, who shot the video of the altercation between Dlamini and the park officials on Friday, said that the 24-year-old was undergoing surgery in the Cape Town Hospital. Nick Dlamini was in the operating theater, came out of that. Barbara Creasy, the minister, has asked that those people be placed on suspension. However, there is labor law in place, and that labor law that is in place obviously has got to go its due process. And the Rangers will, during the course of today, they will definitely be asked to say, you know, why they should not be suspended. So we got a couple of messages in terms of what happened to Nick Dlamini. I'm a trustee for Wilderness Search and Rescue. As you are aware, the bulk of the rescue in the Western Cape occur in the Table Mountain National Parks. Wilderness Search and Rescue have a management advisory committee which meets every 2 months, although they are members of the Wilderness Rescue Search and Rescue and participate in rescues. South African National Parks do not attend the management advisory committee meetings. Another one coming in, a message of that: the culture of disrespect is entrenched. It will take a huge effort to change it. The very first thing that must happen is that a different caliber of ranger must be used. Educated, well-trained people persons, and then they must be people's persons, and then a communicative management. That is a shocking state of affairs. The public do not respect this organization.
Missed the conversation while soaking up the sun?
Find all the interviews in the podcast section on capetalk.co.za.
And moving on from that particular interview, we are going to be chatting right now. And there was a conversation with Africa Milani, and Africa was having a chat to Marianne Nivot in terms of Airbnbs. If you now live within a gated complex or you live within in a flat, are you allowed to have an Airbnb go up, and should there be an Airbnb? Well, that legislation will be taking place pretty soon. And, of course, there's been a call a very, very long time now, a call for the regulation of Airbnbs. Now, the new Airbnb concept has been doing considerably well in Cape Town since its inception, but we need to ask at what particular cost. And this is the question many guest house owners feel that they can answer due to bearing the brunt of their own businesses declining as it affects their earnings. And we're looking at something in the region of less 50% occupancy over the past 2 years. Now, these guest houses and lodge owners have reported an occupancy drop of 50%, inclusive of a growing concern and increased expenditure costs that can't be avoided. And a lot of them said that they just have to close business at the end of the day. Next up, we chat to Barry Thomas, who's the owner of Jambo Guest House, about what his experience is in terms of this particular decline. Barry, a very good morning to you and welcome to Cape Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Are there, Barry?
Yes, I hear you.
Ah, good shot. Barry, where is your guest house located, and how long have you been in operation?
We are in Greenpoint, not far from the stadium, and we've been operating as a guest house for the last 24 years, very successfully. We've won lots of awards for the guest house.
Mm. And how many Airbnbs, for instance, just in the Seapoint, Greenpoint area at the moment?
I've heard different opinions. Somebody phoned me yesterday after the newspaper article and said that she thinks there are 3,000. I just did a quick Google search and 300 came up, but I'm not sure how Airbnb's algorithms work. The 300 that came up, is that only the ones that have availability, or is that all of them? So it's hard to pin it down.
The difference between an Airbnb and an actual guest house. Just run us through that, in a guest house or a lodge.
Well, a guest house, most of my guests like the interaction with us, the owners, myself and my wife Mina, the owners. And with an Airbnb, you probably only see the owner once when you collect the keys, and maybe once when you give them back the keys at the end of your stay. So that I think is the big difference. Myself and my wife and the guests all like this interaction that we have together. Mm.
With an Airbnb, you don't necessarily, if you've got a smart lock on your door, you actually don't need to even interact with the person occupying your premises.
That's also true, yeah. That would also be true.
There's a big contention between guest houses and Airbnbs. Now, how are the rates and taxes affecting your situation versus an Airbnb? Because at the moment, there's very little sort of regulation in place. You can just say, I've got a room up for rent and put it up onto Airbnb and that's it. And does the city do any checks on Airbnbs in terms of legislation and in terms of compliance?
No, as far as I know, the city does nothing. And like you said, you can just have a room, put it on Airbnb and you're good to go. But we pay a fortune in commercial rates. We are listed as a commercial operation by the City of Cape Town. We pay a fortune to be star graded, and we're also graded by AA Travel Guides Accommodation. And all this costs a lot of money. So these are the overheads that Airbnbs don't have. We also have a big insurance cost so that all our guests are well covered by insurance.
Yeah. And the past 2 years, what has the Airbnb industry done, or is it... Now, I've got to be careful here. Is it correct to say that because of the emergence of Airbnb, guest houses and lodges have suffered due to this?
That is my gut feel, but you know, there's nobody can put any figures to it. The City of Cape Town started the ball rolling with a day zero scenario, sort of telling the whole world, don't come to Cape Town because there's no water, and scared people away and they didn't come back. And I think that Airbnb has to have had a big influence on our turnover, because we've noticed a big drop in turnover the last 2 years. And everybody else I speak to in the industry says the same thing. So, yeah.
Mm. Chatting this morning to Barry Thomas, who's the owner of Jumbo Guest House, and we're chatting Airbnb versus guest houses, and understandably that guest houses need to be registered as a commercial business. You need to have insurance in case, let's say, for instance, jewelry gets stolen out of a room, somebody gets lost out of a room, somebody is injured on your premises. So there's a lot of costs involved when you actually have a guest house as compared to having an Airbnb. What are the levies? The problem that bothers a lot of people is that there's virtually no legislation in terms of Airbnbs. Do they have to declare their income, and do they have to comply with anything?
Legally, they would have to declare their income to SARS at the end of every year, but whether they do or not, I have no idea. That's up to the individual.
Mm. And the people renting out their places as Airbnbs and even with hotels, and certainly Airbnbs have had maybe just a little bit of a knock-on effect on hotels. But, you know, people go to hotels because that's where they feel comfortable most of the time. With the Airbnbs and with the hotels and stuff like that, you know, the Airbnbs have had a really, really sort of effect. And what the people will turn around and say is, why don't you change the business model of the guest house similar to an Airbnb? Has there any thought behind that?
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking along those lines. But it would give the guest experience, far less of a nice stay. They would just have a room, and that's all they'd get out of it, not the interaction that we give.
But if you deregister your guest house as a business and put it up as an Airbnb, wouldn't you be making more money?
No, I don't think so. I've been over all these figures many times, and I don't think that would work.
How do we get people, and how do we get bums onto beds in guest houses again?
I think South African tourism, Cape Town tourism, and the Western Cape government need to go on a massive advertising campaign, because there's still this hangover of the not enough water. We get very bad press overseas about crime, and yet all my guests that come here say we've felt really safe. So I think that's not what needs to be done, a massive overseas advertising campaign.
Mm. Chatting this morning to Barry Thomas, owner of Jambo Guest House, we've got Ross in Thornton, who used to run an Airbnb. Ross, good morning.
Morning, yes. Just to fill in a few gaps there, because I've got sympathy with people who run the so-called regular guest houses. It just seems to me there's an economic breakdown here, and something has come in and unfortunately has taken away a lot of trade from a very legitimate industry. When I was involved with Airbnb, and I was for 3 years, and it was a pretty happy relationship, really. Just a couple of things. We certainly paid tax, because we actually get, I don't quite know how the business works, but certainly it's importation of dollars we're getting paid, and it comes through a company, and of course it's you cannot get away with that is declared to SARS. So somebody would have to be very, very clever indeed on Airbnb to avoid paying tax. So that certainly is not happening. And in terms of regulation, and especially actually the one point I wanted to make was the personal, really the personal relationship between the guest and the owner of the Airbnb. I had people actually in my house, and that is true for quite a number of people. It isn't just a matter of finding a flat and getting the key and then going in, but it varies between the various Airbnbs. I just think that while I have sympathy for people who are running the guest houses, this is a new thing that's come in, and I believe it has made Cape Town more accessible for tourism, and overall is a good thing, although there are obviously certain problems in this particular sector.
Yeah. Ross from Thornton. Ross, I think the problem basically is that a number of people will tell you that, you as the owner of the Airbnb, you're there to welcome them and you're there to take them on. And if you have it as part of your home, or you have a flat that you've bought and you're renting this out as Airbnb on the beachfront somewhere. But the actual problem arises where owners give this over to agents, and agents are not always available, and agents are not always there, because the new thing now is to open up gated complexes and open up flats to Airbnbs. And the problem there is that if you're in a gated complex, there are certain rules and regulations where you should park, when you can make noise, when you can't make noise, how you can access the premises, and I think that just becomes a complication, Ross.
Yeah, I'd have great sympathy for people who got a gated complex, they've bought into that, and then all of a sudden, very, very noisy holiday makers, because one of the people has been able to do an Airbnb. I definitely think that is a breakdown in the system. And of course, what has to happen is that the people who hold the rights in a gated complex enforce them very, very strictly. I have a friend of mine who has a flat in quite a small complex, and they are being very careful about that. It's difficult to control unless the people who are on the board controlling that actually take it very, very seriously. Unfortunately, people having parties is just spontaneously is actually a pretty difficult thing to control.
Yeah, and especially when you live in a gated complex, parking is the big thing. Barry, we're just going to take another call very, very quickly, and I'll come back to you for comment on that. We got a call from Kathy in Constantia. She is actually in the business as well. Kathy, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I thought I'd say that I don't think Airbnb is actually taking a lot of business away. There are a lot of guest houses here in Constantia Bishop's Court that use Airbnb as well. There is a huge drop-off in tourist numbers. You know, there was no way 2 years ago you could have a 5 to 10 minute wait for Table Mountain, as a visitor's hotspot, or going along to Cape Point. And you can actually see there are less and less tourists. When I walk past all the guest houses, there are not many tourists there over this busy period. And in many ways, South Africa is outpricing itself as a destination. I mean, you can go to the east for 2 weeks. Even for local people who live locally, a lot of your normal local trade that would normally come, they're not even coming to Cape Town. It's not about water. But why would you come to Cape Town if it's going to cost you 35,000 rand when you can go to the east for like 12, 14, including a hotel and 2 meals? So I think South Africans need to rethink. I mean, I drove past a hotel yesterday on the N1. I think it's a Protea hotel on the left up above the Libertas Hospital. Mm. They were charging 1,900 rand a night for a room where you're not even near anything that's decent. So I think South Africans really need to stop being greedy. They need to come down off this pedestal thinking we are a beautiful destination, but there are a lot of beautiful destinations in the world. And really, I mean, I try and even take family. Whether you go to the Norval Foundation or you go to the Zeitmacher, I mean, we're charging prices that are way over the top for a lot of the local South Africans. And tourists have to spend up to 1,300, 2,000 euro on a ticket to get here. So we really need to look at it in perspective and not blame Airbnb, not blame the Ubers of the world. We need to look down at each of us individually and sit down and just say, hey, wait a minute. We are really creaming it over the top. Yeah. And come down to a more realistic financial situation, which is what used to attract foreigners here. Yeah. They felt they got good value for money. But let me tell you, even the homeowners of 4 houses that we look after in the Constantia area, they're not even here this season because the air tickets are now so expensive to come.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's actually about rands and cents. And Kathy says it's about rands and cents. And I've got a friend who's just been to Vietnam at the moment. And, you know, he's come back and he says, in Vietnam, you can spend 300 rand to 500 rand per night for a hotel, which is right on the beachfront. The cost of going there, the cost of eating there, and everything else is actually quite cheap, and it's a beautiful destination. Barry, just your last comments very quickly. How do we level the playing fields here, Barry?
Difficult question, because what Kathy says is definitely valid. Our problem, and I'm sure most of the other big hotels and guest houses' problem, is our fixed costs. We can't bring those down, so we have to charge enough to make a living. But something definitely needs to be done about attracting more guests, because definitely not as many as there used to be.
Maybe we should actually speak to Jane Foss and say, listen, maybe a bit of a tax incentive for guest houses and people actually luring tourists into Cape Town, because certainly, you know, the city makes money off other things when the tourists do arrive in Cape Town.
Valid point. Please get James Voss on the phone and we'll have a chat to him as well.
Barry, thank you so much for your time this morning. Owner of Jambo Guest House and chatting to us about guest houses versus Airbnb. There you've heard Kathy. Kathy says it's about expensive, and Cape Town, unfortunately, yes.